Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're kindly joined by Kieran Morzaria, who is the CEO of Cadence Minerals. Kieran, thank you much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks for interviewing me.
We're going to be discussing your company, the investments you're making, the minerals that you're looking at, and there's certain points that we're going to be elaborating on in the podcast. But before we get into the finer details, please, would you be able to give us, Kieran, an overview of Cadence Minerals?
Yes, absolutely. So Cadence is listed on the AIM market in London. It's a responsible resource investor in the lithium, rare earth and iron ore space, investing both at the project level. All of those elements are critical compounds or metals that we believe will form part of the next commodity cycle. You've seen commodity super cycles beforehand. We believe driven by the increasing penetration of electric vehicles around the world. In the United Kingdom and Europe, we're seeing about 10% penetration of new vehicles. And the infrastructure build-up that we see in the US, we see that lithium and rare earth for the electric vehicles and iron ore for construction and infrastructure spend that we'll see in the US with their fiscal stimulus that's occurring at the moment. So, we are a public company. Over the last financial year, our listed investments delivered, substantial returns in the order of 300%. And our private investments have really made excellent progress towards production of their respective metals and minerals.
Fantastic. So one key point that I think we need to touch on here is how the company's structured. Because, Kieran, you're actually a mining investment company as opposed to an operator of mines. What's the thinking behind that?
It's a simple answer. It's a diversification of risk. Mining or exploration of mining is by very nature a high risk venture, and a mining company on AIM and the capital constraints that you see on AIM with a market cap of sub 100 million pounds, the capital intensity of development of these mining projects, it's very hard for single operational companies on AIM to invest substantially and management time across multiple projects. So often you'll see they only have one substantial project being developed. And therefore, if that project, has risk associated or has an interference, for example, government, environmental licensing, changes in commodity prices, that can have a really bad effect on the market capitalization and a shareholder return. So as an investment company, we can diversify across the elements, so lithium, rare earth, and iron ore, in our case at this point in time, across geography, so we're not exposed to one single jurisdiction, and projects. So we can reduce the risk to our shareholders. And to this date, this strategy has worked out with all of our projects in the portfolio progressing well, and I would judge to be all of them successful so far.
So as an investment company, Kieran, what's your strategy? You've obviously outlined their particular metals and minerals that you're focusing on. But if we look at the broader strategy of what Cadence is doing, would you be able to give us a little bit more detail on that?
Yeah, absolutely. What happened, I think, about 3 or 4 years ago, I discussed with shareholders and made presentation that, early stage resource investment is very high risk, both on a technical risk front, a regulatory risk front, and financing risk front. And actually, there was a study done, I think it was in the late 90s, by an Australian university, where they basically said, reviewing copper assets, about only 0.02% reach feasibility study from greenfield. So, that's very high risk for a lot of investors to be involved. So what we looked at doing is we take our expertise outside consultants, and we identify projects that have a high chance of reaching PFS or feasibility study level. So that is the level or which there's a high level of understanding of the project, its mineral resource, its economic returns, and feasibility study level is what you utilize to raise money and build the project. And we invest relatively early. as the best value that you get in most resource projects and mineral projects is invested at early stage from exploration all the way, and then you get the increase in that investment value when you get to PFS and feasibility study level. So all of our assets are pretty well started that way. If we look at EMH, we invested when they were really just starting off as a resource, and it's gone, and we've been invested there for several years, and it's now gone to a stage where they're doing their bankable feasibility study. We look at something like our investment or our joint venture into the Yangibana Rare Earth Project, ditto the same. All of these projects have invested from early stage, and now they're at either pre-construction, feasibility, financing level, and that strategy has worked successful. But it's continuing to identify new projects like that that can provide the same level of return, but reduce the technical risk for us as investors through due diligence and through structuring of deals that we do with people. So we invest in private and public stocks. So in terms of we invest in private companies and public stocks, we have a smaller proportion of our portfolio that's sort of is sort of below 1 or 2% of those public stocks. And we also have, if we invest over 10%, we look to have board positions in those public stocks. So I'm a board member of European Metals Holdings, for example. In private, we take a much more active role, or we try to take a much more active role. And you can see with our investment in Amapa, you know, we've taken a much more active role. We are partners and joint venture partners, and we're actively involved in the management alongside our partners of the development of those assets, not solely a passive shareholder or just just a non-executive director on the board. So that's a much more active, much more private equity approach in those assets. So hopefully that's outlined our investment strategy. We do incredible due diligence, review the risks, and invest at an early stage to get the best value all the way up to feasibility and pre-feasibility level. That's the greatest value for our shareholders. And we try to reduce that risk by, in the private set, in public stock, have smaller stakes so we can liquidate our positions if required. And in larger stakes, we have a non-executive position. And in the private area, we have a active management of that. So we've got a diversified risk approach, but hopefully delivering good returns. And as I mentioned beforehand, technically all of our projects to date have been successful. And things like EMH have delivered, as anyone can see, have delivered excellent returns to shareholders, which we are one of them.
Fantastic. Thank you. That's very interesting insight there into your investment strategy, Kieran. And you've obviously, you've named a couple of projects there. And of course, at the beginning, the minerals that you're looking at. But I'm sure listeners are going to be very interested to hear about your principal investments in more detail, some of the assets that you own and have stakes on. So would you like to give us a little bit more around that, please?
Yeah, so let's talk about the principal assets. So the main one, which, you know, has been ongoing for a while, is our investment into the Amapa iron ore mine in Brazil. So the Amapa iron ore mine is a de-risked and was profitable, low capex and quick cash flow investment for us. You know, the way that it's structured, it's a large iron ore deposit in the state of Amapa, northern Brazil. It has around a 14-year mine life to it. It's 185 million tons worth of resources, about 40% run of the mine grade, which gets enriched to 65%, which is a very high quality iron ore. And at full capacity, the plant will run at 5.3 million tons per annum. Now, why this is interesting for us is, it's not a new build. It's not a new development. It was a distressed asset, which we've worked through getting agreements with creditors, agreements with the secured bank creditors. You know, we have to still finalize that in terms of, we still have to execute the settlement agreement. But in principle, those agreements are done. And once we restructure that, we've already got a mine that's established. It's got a mineral resource. It's got a plant that's built, a rail and a port that's built. Does require rehabilitation, but nonetheless, the capex required per ton is much lower than would be for a similar iron ore mine of that size. So it represents a very good internal rate of return and NPV. So the project was originally valued by, well, when it was sold, was valued by Anglo American about $600 million. And our investment to get initially 27% is $6 million, of which we've already got $2.5 million on deposit waiting to be vested. And then we have the first right of refusal to go up to 49% of the company. So it's a pretty substantial asset. The way that we structured it diversifies our mitigates our risk. And we're going to be producing, and it's a low-cost producer, around $21 per ton of production. And it produces a product of 60, like, will produce a product of 60, majority is going to be 65% Fe, which is a, you know, around $120 a ton production. So that's a life of mine OPEX to the port is 21. You'd still have shipping costs on top of that. So it's a really good project that we're looking forward to developing. And, you know, once we get the settlement agreement signed with the bank creditors, that will be, you know, a primary focus of my time, certainly over the coming years and months as we develop this into a production asset. So that's a map up. And then we have European, and if we talk about, we're talking about the size of assets, we talk about European Metals Holdings, which is, you know, that is, we've got around 9% of that. That's a public company. We, you know, shareholders will probably already know, and people listening to this will probably already know how it's performed over the last year. It is a substantial deposit. It is probably, you know, it's the fourth largest non-brine lithium resource in the world. It's, so far we understand it to be a low-cost producer, bottom of the cost curve. Its location, critically, is in the Czech Republic, which is in the heart of Europe, and near to, you know, near numerous potential end users. Where we look at the heart of Europe, you have got all these electric vehicle manufacturers coming into play here with battery plants being developed. And it's got a strategic partnership, which is really great, with CEZ. Now, CEZ, or CEZ, is the parastatal or state-owned power company in Czech Republic, who have funded this asset, or will fund this asset to production decisions, so the bankable feasibility study. So there's, you know, there shouldn't be really any dilution to us as shareholders of EMH as that goes towards, you know, the bankable feasibility study. So those are two, if we look at our balance sheet, you know, our financial balance sheet, those will be our two primary assets. We, of course, have other assets. We have a 30% stake in the Sonora, part of the Sonora project, which is a JV owned by Bacanora and ourselves. Bacanora is in the process of being taken over by Ganfeng, one of the largest battery producers in the world. And we'll see how that pans out. You know, that those JV areas are not going to be mined, or certainly in the mine plan as it stands, we're not going to be mined until much later in the mine plan. And we also have a 30% JV stake in the Yangibana rare earth deposit, or part of the Yangibana rare earth deposit. Again, significant because of the neodymium deposit primarily, which is really important for permanent magnets in electric vehicles. And that that stake, again, will be mined later on in the mine life. So, you know, those are the various sort of private and public investments. And we also have a 31% stake in a hard rock potential hard rock pegmatite deposit in Australia. So a lot of assets, all which are advancing and have been successful, you know, either at bankable feasibility study, getting financing, and so have mitigated a lot of that risk. And bearing in mind, we've been in these, a lot of these assets for a while now. And an interesting prospect, an exploration prospect in our hard rock project in Australia, which is right next to Core Lithium, which is a sort of $400 million market cap company, the Litchfield areas that we own 31% of now. So it's a really good suite of assets, which I feel very positive about, all of which have the ability to deliver value to Cadence. I would say most significantly in the short term, and longer term, assuming it comes to production, is Amapa.
So Amapa there is one definitely to watch for investors. But I mean, apart from that, Kieran, when people are looking at the company and thinking what's going to be coming next, I mean, what do you say potentially? Of course, you can't say certain things which haven't been disclosed to the market yet, but you know, if investors are trying to keep an eye out for developments coming from Cadence, what do you think could be the most significant developments for you over the next 3 to 6 months?
Well, I think I'll talk about things that we have control over, which we are, you know, intimately involved in, which is, of course, the Amapa project. So for us, as we've said beforehand, we have the, our conditions of vesting to get to our 20% and eventually our 27% is that we need a settlement agreement with secured bank creditors. That has that has been agreed in principle with their relevant credit committees. We are now in the process of drafting and finalizing the settlement agreement. That's the final binding document. And that's progressing well. And once we have it done, we'll announce it. I know people keep on asking when. I'm not going to give forecasts on that, but it is progressing very well. And I certainly look forward to announcing it when it occurs. And that will really trigger our 20%, our 20%, and then 20%, and then our 27% once we invest a further 3.5 million, which will be that will be important for Cadence as a company. And of course, from that, and to our shareholders, of course, and of course, from that, then we can, you know, we've already embarked at site in anticipation of these settlement agreements being signed. You know, the site has already embarked on commencing its pre-feasibility study, which will provide shareholders and Cadence a very clear view, particularly shareholders, a very clear view of the NPV of the project, and gives them, you know, certainty around the construction, development, and timeline to development from that. And those are the two major things that will occur in Amapa. Then, of course, we have our investment in EMH, and as we've seen them moving forward with their PFS, bankable feasibility study. So whatever announcements come out there, which will be interesting. And we also have our JV areas with Yangabana and Sonora. We'll see how Ganfeng pairs out, how that goes, and how that will affect our assets there. And Yangabana, you know, they're progressing well, and you know, we would look to crystallize some value from the Yangabana in one way or another in the long term. So, and that's what we always want to do in the long term. So we'll look at how that can be achieved as well. So I think there's lots of projects that are in development, and all of which, as I said, can provide a stimulus to, you know, create shareholder value. For me, it is a map, but it is about crystallizing that settlement agreement, completing the pre-feasibility study as soon as feasibly possible. And with iron ore improving and shipping rates coming down, they're still not there. You know, the recommencement of shipping at the Amapa project, which it has a substantial stockpile there. And so if the shipping rates come down to more reasonable levels that we saw earlier in the $40 to $50 mark per ton for this asset, then we can recommence shipping. So that's what we're looking to do going forward.
Kieran, that's fantastic. Thank you very much. So just a note for listeners, in the podcast notes, we're going to be putting a link through to Cadence's website, because Kieran's very kindly gone through a number of different projects there, and I'm sure people want to know a little bit more about those, and information can be found on the Cadence website. So do check out the notes in the podcast here for a link through to the Cadence website, which actually has a very good explanation of all the different assets that Kieran's just been through there. So do have a look at that. So Kieran, thank you much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time to interview me.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.